open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. I've often referred to this chapter, and I'm sure others have too, but I've often referred to it as faith's Hall of Fame. The Holy Spirit is the guide who ever abides with believers, and the Holy Spirit leads us through faith's Hall of Fame as different Old Testament characters are referred to, telling us something about them in past days. And when we come to verse 22 of Hebrews 11, the Holy Spirit stops, as it were, by the plaque here that refers to Joseph. And he said, by faith, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And then he proceeds with others, such as Moses in the next verse and on through the rest of the chapter. So Joseph is pointed out that he acted by faith in what he did and what he commanded before he died. So with this verse in mind, let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Because we read about the bones of Joseph four times in the Bible. The book of Hebrews, as we have read, which tells us that he spoke about his bones by faith. And then we read of his bones three times in the Old Testament scriptures, one of which is in Genesis chapter 50. Before we look down to the latter part of the chapter, I'm sure all of you are familiar with the story of Joseph. God had told Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, but God had told Abram way back there in Genesis chapter 15 that his people would be in a land not theirs. They would be there for 400 years. And then they would come forth to a land that God would give them. And you know how God worked circumstantially, providentially, directly, indirectly, in eventually bringing the Jewish people down into Egypt, just as he said. And you know how that Joseph ascended to the highest position in the land of Egypt next to Pharaoh himself. Joseph became the savior of Egypt, if you please. And you know the story, how that his brothers appeared before him, and he recognized them, but they didn't know who this man was, whom they stood before. It was Joseph, their brother, who they ill-treated, whom they sold to the Ishmaelites 30-some years before. You know the story, as I said. Well, now when we come to Genesis chapter 50, Joseph realizes that his time is very short. And so he speaks concerning his bones. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So here is the first time in the Old Testament that we read about his bones. Now keep in mind the writer of Hebrews tells us that it was by faith that he understood all of this. It was by faith that he knew that God was going to deliver the Jewish people out of Egypt to a land of his promise. He knew that by faith, and so he charged his brothers that they take an oath that they would carry up his bones when they leave. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And come down to verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, ye shall carry up my bones away from hence with you. So here is the second time we read of the bones of Joseph. One other time in the Old Testament, and let's go there to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Down to verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Let's pretend that we are in Israel. And let's pretend we are standing on the side of, you might say, a small mountain, on a hillside. And we're looking to the left above us, and we see Mount Gerizim, Mount of Blessing. And to the right, we see another mountain across the way, and it's Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. And in between the two, on the shoulder of those two mountains, there's a city there now. The present-day name is Nablus. You read about it, you hear about it in the news, Nablus. It's one of those hot areas. And tourist groups do not go there today. A couple of tours back, we looked at it from that hillside. Some years ago, we went there. We went to Jacob's Well. And from Jacob's Well, we could see the white domed building a little distance away. And that is where Joseph was buried. You might remember reading and hearing in the news in past several years how that the Palestinians took that place from some of the Jewish soldiers, and they desecrated that place, the burial place of Joseph, and they tried to make a mosque out of it. The Israelis have since taken it back. And they guard it very carefully. We read that Joseph was buried there in Shechem. Now, I said the modern day name is Nablus, but the biblical name is Shechem, one of the cities of refuge, there on the shoulder of those two mountains. That's where Joseph was buried because Jacob had purchased that land. And by the way, let me just inject this thought. Jeff Buckles has been preaching on Hosea, I understand. All right, so he's been telling you about the northern kingdom made up of 10 tribes and the southern kingdom made up of 2 tribes. And sometimes the northern kingdom was referred to as Ephraim. Why is that? Because he's one of the sons of Joseph. That's where Joseph is buried, and Shechem became the capital of that northern kingdom there in Samaria. But that's where Joseph is buried. Now, I want us to think about what we have read in these scriptures. It was by faith that Joseph understood what would happen in a coming day. And Joseph said, I want you to be sure to take my bones and bury them there in the land, which they did. Now, how long were they in the wilderness? Well, you would say right at 40 years. Some argue, well, specifically, it was about 38. Scripture says 40 years. But about 40 years, here they were in the wilderness. And carrying the bones of Joseph that many years throughout the wilderness. I suppose that was the longest march of pallbearers in history. Wouldn't you think? If it isn't in the Guinness World Record book, it should be. Marching along in the wilderness for 40 years, carrying about the bones of Joseph. But the bones of Joseph were a testimony concerning the faithfulness of God. Now, in many ways, Joseph is like the Lord Jesus. When Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers hated him. You know the story, as I said. They hated him because he was Dad's favorite. Well, he was loved by the father. Surely Jacob loved his other sons as well. But Joseph was special. He was loved of the father. He was hated by his brothers. So many ways. And you've heard messages. You've read the scriptures for yourself. And you know how Joseph was like the Lord Jesus in so many different ways. But what a testimony his bones were. When Joseph was born, he was given that name, Joseph. Do you know what it means? I think I asked you this some time ago. Do you know what Joseph means? Well, his name means, the Lord shall add and give to me yet another son, who was Benjamin. And Rachel died in Bethlehem, giving birth to Benjamin. And even here again, even though the Bethlehem area has been turned over to the Palestinians, the Jewish people have said, this is one area you're not getting, and that's Rachel's tomb. And that is guarded day and night as well. But when Joseph was born, he was given that name, which means the Lord shall add. We were referring this morning in Genesis chapter 48 or 49 to Jacob giving his farewell and his blessings to his different sons, the different tribes. And when he gave his farewell blessing to Joseph, he said, you'll see this in Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And how like the Lord Jesus was, or how like Joseph was of the Lord Jesus. Everything about the Lord Jesus tells us the Lord shall add. It is interesting when we think of the burial of the Lord Jesus. There were those who thought, well, it's all over. Jesus is dead. He said so many great and wonderful things. Boy, he encouraged us so. He gave us such hope. But he's dead. And that's it, some thought. And it seems that those two disciples on the Emmaus Road were entertaining such thoughts. It's all over. But whom did the Lord use in connection with the burial of Christ? Well, you said he used Joseph of Arimathea. At least he used his tomb. He used the Joseph. That's interesting to me. As if to say, no, it's not over. The well-beloved Son, in obedience to the Father, gave himself willingly to die on the cross. He cried, not my will, but thine be done. And he died. And he cried, it's finished. But the Lord is going to add and raise him from the dead and exalt him to the highest station. So God uses a Joseph whose name means the Lord shall add. And there are so many ways in which Joseph was like the Lord Jesus, or vice versa. Everything about the Lord Jesus reminds us the Lord shall add. He shall see his seed and be satisfied. John chapter 17, when the Lord prayed, he said, I pray for those whom thou hast given me. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church such as were being saved. And so how like the Lord Jesus was this man Joseph. The Lord shall add. Joseph was given another name down in Egypt. It's a long name. Can you remember that name? Well, I have it before me that I'm able to remember it. Genesis 41 and verse 45. He was given this name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. Zaphnath-Paaneah. What does that word mean? Well, good Bible teachers say that it means the Prince of Life. Others say it means the Savior of the world. We can understand why he was given such a name, because God used him to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh so that preparation was made and he saved Egypt. So they gave him that name, Zaphnath-Paaneah, and it means Savior of the world. I was looking at John chapter 4. You need not turn to it. Now, the Lord Jesus was at Nablus, or Shechem. He was at Samaria, at Jacob's well. And he had that encounter with the Samaritan woman. And you remember, after she had drunk of this water of life in trusting Christ as her Savior, she went into the city and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then later, when the people of the city, after hearing her testimony, and many of whom believed on Christ, they went out to see the Savior for themselves. And I'm looking at John chapter 4 and verse 41, and many more believe because of his own word. They went to hear him, and many more believe, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that to me was interesting when I thought that Joseph was given that name down in Egypt, Zaphnath-Paaneah, the Savior of the world. And there where he was buried, the people used the same wording in speaking of Christ. He is the Savior of the world. When we go back to Genesis chapter 50 and think of what Joseph said to his brothers in charging them, making them take an oath, he said, in essence, God is going to bring you out of this land. God is going to bring you out. When we go to Exodus chapter 13, we read of them in the wilderness, which tells us God will bring you through. And then in Joshua 24, where they actually went into the land. That is to say, God is going to bring you in. And Joseph said as much. And he said it all by faith. God is going to bring you out. He's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you into the land. And you take my bones and bury them. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here again, verses that you're familiar with. You've heard them read. You have read them for yourself so many times. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Let me pause to say, Paul in his writings gave some instructions, not because God revealed those things to him directly. That is to say, the Apostle Paul wrote some things as he was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to pen what he wrote. Some things he commanded, not because God or the Lord Jesus had specifically spoken to him about this or that. But he said these things by apostolic authority, being under the controlling power of the Holy Spirit of God. But when it comes to this remembrance time of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, in partaking of the emblems, which we just did, this is something that he received directly from the Lord. And he says so. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now remember, way back in, is it Exodus chapter 34? I'm trying to go from memory now. Exodus chapter 34, where God charged the Jewish people. They had received the law, and they said, "All that the Lord commands, we will do." And some of the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon the people. And the other was sprinkled before the Lord. But it was to convey to them that you are linked with the sacrifice upon the altar here in your confession to the Lord that you will obey what He has commanded. this covenant links you with this offering upon the altar. Well, when the Lord Jesus, after the Passover meal, when He instituted this new remembrance feast, He said, this is the cup of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, if you please, which links us to His sacrificial death at Calvary. Not under the law, not according to Old Testament sacrifice, but it links us with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, He used these two emblems. He said concerning the bread, this is my body. Now, we don't believe in transubstantiation. You've heard me and others say that. We don't believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe that the bread actually becomes the body of Christ. We don't believe that the fruit of the vine or the wine actually becomes the blood of Christ. Some teach that. We reject that teaching. We believe that they are simply emblems. And even some of our songs in the Black Hymnal, how would you list it under poetic license, I guess? We sing of the bread type of Him on whom we feed. Well, the bread is not a type. The wine is not a type. The Passover meal was a type. But the antitype has come. And so where the antitype has come, you don't have types after that. And so the bread and the wine are simply emblems. And they are used to remind us of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, this is what Leviticus 17 and 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said, I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. The life of the flesh is in the blood, but when you remove blood from the body, you have death. And so we think of these two emblems that were before us just recently, the bread and the wine. Symbols of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we are in this wilderness wide, if you please, down here. We don't have the bones of our Lord Jesus Christ because He has been raised from the dead. We were at that place, which is possibly His burial place. Some say it's at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Some say at the Garden Tomb. We were in both places. So, quite possibly, we were at one of the sites, which is the burial place of our Lord Jesus Christ. But His body is not there because He's been raised from the dead. But we have these emblems that we partake of each Lord's Day, as we are journeying through this wilderness. And what do these emblems tell us? Well, it is by faith that we understand that because of who He is and what He has done and our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, He has brought us out. And we could turn to portions like Ephesians chapter 2 and see that we are different. We've been brought out of this world. John chapter 17, the Lord prayed for His own. He said, they're not of this world. He has brought us out. And now here we are in this wilderness, and it is by faith we understand that He's bringing us through. We're in His care and keeping. He's always with us. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to our cry. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He brought us out. And He is bringing us through. And He's going to bring us into glory. We have His Word. The Lord Jesus prayed, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to appear with Him in glory. Yeah, what a testimony the bones of Joseph are. And he understood all of this by faith, that the people would be brought out, be brought through, and brought into the land. And he said, take my bones with you. Well, aren't you glad that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought us out, He's bringing us through, and He's going to bring us into glory. We don't have His bones like they had the bones of Joseph, because our Savior is alive. But each Lord's Day we have these emblems to remind us of His body and His blood, of His death, and what was accomplished there when He died upon that cross. And we have a living hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Join with me as we sing, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we thank Thee for our wonderful Savior. And how wonderful to know that He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We thank Thee, Father, that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We rejoice in the fact that Thou dost see us in Christ already seated in glory, glorified with Him. We thank Thee for the living hope which is ours. So though we are living in this wilderness as such, the sad, sin-sick world, and though we might wonder what tomorrow will bring, what coming weeks and months and years will bring, we thank Thee for the living hope which is ours, and we are told to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And increasingly we are seeing this. And so we thank Thee for the hope which is ours of one day being home, seeing our Lord Jesus face to face, being with Him and being like Him. So we thank Thee for this day of us being together, singing, praying, reading and considering Thy Word. And we pray as we go forth from the meeting tonight into a new week, that we will walk in the consciousness of Thy presence and power to realize Thy purpose in our lives. May it be so, for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.